So you wanted like a deep dive on Lamentations, right? And especially like how it connects to Christianity.
Yeah.
Well, we've got some excerpts from an expert, Dr. Leslie Allen,
Okay.
who has really like unpacked this book from a believer's perspective. He actually gave us 15 points to consider.
Okay.
And one of the most surprising is this, that there's actually like a parallel to Lamentations in the New Testament.
Really?
You might be surprised to find it in the Gospel of Luke.
Oh, wow. Interesting. In Luke.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So
So where is that?
well, I'll let our expert kind of unpack that for
Okay.
us, but
Yeah, that's right. It's in Luke 19. Jesus actually weeps over Jerusalem
oh,
as he
wow.
foresees its destruction. It's a powerful image, you know? And it kind of echoes the grief and the lament that we find throughout Lamentations.
Yeah, I mean, so we have these two instances of Jerusalem facing destruction centuries apart,
Right.
one looking back, one looking forward,
Exactly.
but both filled with like this deep sorrow.
Yeah, and while Lamentations is grounded in the historical destruction of Jerusalem, in 586 BC, it's not just like a history lesson.
Right.
Scholar Brevard Childs makes a great point. He says this book speaks to any generation of the faithful who are facing like unbearable circumstances.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So how does a book written thousands of years ago, right,
Right.
still resonate with us today? What makes it so timeless?
Well, one of the keys is its raw honesty.
Okay.
The author, he doesn't shy away from pain, anger, even questioning God.
Wow.
And those are emotions that people still grapple with today, no matter their background.
Yeah, and Dr. Allen also highlights how Lamentations connects to other parts of scripture,
Oh, okay.
creating like this, really fascinating web of themes. For example, he links the pleas and lamentations for God to like look and see their suffering back to Exodus 2.23, triad 5,
Okay.
where God hears the cries of the Israelites, right, enslaved in Egypt. It's this beautiful connection showing that God's sensitivity to suffering isn't limited to one time or place.
Right. That's a good point. He sees and hears the cries of his people throughout history.
Yeah, and this idea of crying out to God, of voicing our pain, that seems to be like really central to Lamentations.
Absolutely. And Dr. Allen makes a fascinating point about the need to actually like express our grief. He even quotes Dorothy Sully, who said, "The first step towards overcoming suffering is to find a language that leads out of the uncomprehended suffering that makes one mute."
Whoa,
Yeah.
that's powerful.
Yeah, it's very profound.
So it's not just about feeling grief, it's about finding the words to articulate it.
Precisely. He also references a poem by Ruth Feldman.
Okay.
He says, "When the waters of loss rose, I built an ark of words." It beautifully illustrates the power of language in processing grief.
Yeah.
We see this throughout Lamentations, this outpouring of emotion, this
Right.
wrestling with God.
So we see this need to like, give voice to our pain.
Yeah.
But what about the way grief is experienced?
Yeah.
Does Lamentations offer any insights there?
It certainly does, and it doesn't like sugarcoat things
Right.
or offer simplistic solutions. In fact, it shows us that grief can be messy. It can be a cyclical process.
Yeah.
It acknowledges those ups and downs, the moments of despair, alongside glimpses of hope.
And that's where that book, The Path Through Grief, comes in, right?
Right, yeah.
It emphasizes that talking helps us understand
Yeah.
and work through the complexity of our emotions.
Exactly.
We can describe, give examples, even use metaphors
Right.
to unpack those, hard to define feelings.
Yeah. And remember C.S. Lewis,
Yeah.
in A Grief Observed, he compared grief to a bomber repeatedly dropping its payload. It comes in waves, sometimes unexpectedly.
That's a pretty intense image. And it really underscores the point that healing isn't linear.
Right.
You can have setbacks,
Yeah.
and that's normal.
Absolutely. And Lamentations also shows us that it's okay to question God in the midst of our suffering. We see this in the repeated cries of, why? Why?
Yeah.
It's a raw, honest expression of bewilderment and pain.
It reminds me of that line from C.S. Lewis, God is so very absent, help in trouble.
Yeah.
That feeling of abandonment, of questioning where God is in the midst of our pain, that resonates deeply with the book's ending.
And yet, even in that darkness, there are glimmers of hope.
Okay.
Dr. Allen points out that the book doesn't end on a note of complete despair.
So where do we see those glimmers of hope?
Right.
What does Lamentations have to say about finding our way back?
Well, it starts with acknowledging our need for God, even in our anger and confusion.
Okay.
Chapter 5 actually marks a shift in the book. It doesn't offer full closure, but there's a glimmer of light.
Right.
The mentor experiences a turning point when God says to him, "Do not fear."
Okay, but he's still grieving deeply. How does that fit with the message of do not fear?
Right, and that's where the mentor's realization comes in.
Okay.
He understands that he's a survivor.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been given like a new perspective. It's not about denying the pain or pretending everything is okay, but rather finding strength and resilience in the midst of suffering.
So how does this relate to the message of hope found in the New Testament?
Right.
What about that well-known verse, Romans 8.28? Does that apply here?
Well, Dr. Allen cautions against like throwing around platitudes.
Okay.
Like it's all for the best or God has a plan, you know, those statements, while intended to comfort,
right,
can actually feel dismissive and even hurtful to someone in the midst of grief.
Oh, okay.
He also points out that Romans 8.28 was written to people facing like very real and present danger.
Okay.
So using it to comfort someone grieving a personal loss, that could feel insensitive.
So context matters.
Yes.
It's not about taking verses out of context and applying them, you know, haphazardly.
Exactly. Lamentations encourages us to sit with the pain, to allow ourselves to feel it fully, and to trust that in time we will find our own path to healing.
That makes sense, but finding your own path to healing can seem daunting.
Sure.
Does Lamentations offer any guidance on how to do that?
Well, one thing it highlights is the importance of the wounded healer.
Okay.
A concept explored by Carl Jung and Henry Nguyen.
Mm-hmm.
The mentor in Lamentations embodies this. He is both qualified by his scars and burdened by the pain of others.
But doesn't the mentor also seem overwhelmed by the burden of others' pain at times?
Yeah.
How do we balance those two aspects?
That's a great question. And it highlights the delicate balance between empathy and self-care. The mentor's struggles remind us that we can't pour from an empty cup. You know, we need to attend to our own wounds as we seek to help others.
That's a good reminder for all of us, especially those who might be in a position of caring for others who are grieving.
Right.
We need to care for ourselves so we can care for them.
Absolutely. And we also need to respect the individual nature of grief. There's no set timetable for healing.
Yeah, Dr. Allen makes that point very clearly. He pushes back against the pressure to get over it. He even points out that the mentor in Lamentations recognized the need for more time to grieve.
It's like saying, hey, grief is a journey, not a destination. And we need to respect the time it takes to process such profound loss.
So true. And speaking of journeys, it's fascinating how Dr. Allen connects grief to the potential loss of faith.
Uh-huh.
He shares the surprising story of Charles Darwin, who lost his faith not because of his scientific discoveries, but because of the death of his young daughter, Annie.
It's a stark reminder that grief can shake even the strongest beliefs, leaving us questioning everything we thought we knew. And it's an experience that's sadly echoed in the Holocaust. Many individuals struggling to reconcile their faith with the immense suffering they endured. Elie Wiesel's work explores this very struggle.
Yeah, these stories highlight the importance of creating space for doubt and questioning within our faith, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. It's not about suppressing those doubts, but rather engaging with them honestly and openly. Lamentations provides a model for doing just that.
And this leads us to perhaps the most challenging concept of all, a grace disguised.
Okay.
Dr. Allen references Gerald Sitzer's book by that title, which explores how the soul can grow through loss.
It can seem impossible to imagine finding grace in the midst of profound suffering. But Sitzer, who experienced multiple devastating losses himself,
yeah,
argues that sorrow can be transformative, stripping away superficiality and revealing what truly matters.
It's like grief becomes a refining fire, burning away all that is not essential.
Precisely. Sitzer writes, deep sorrow often has the effect of stripping life of pretense, vanity, and waste. It forces us to ask basic questions about what is most important in life.
He also connects this idea to the film The Doctor, where a physician's own illness forces him to confront his lack of empathy. It's only through his own suffering that he learns to truly see and care for his patients.
It's a powerful reminder that sometimes our greatest growth comes through our greatest pain.
And that leaves us with a powerful question to ponder. Can you see any good coming out of your own times of grief? It's not about minimizing the pain, but rather exploring the possibility of growth and transformation. Maybe, just maybe, there's a grace disguised within our own brokenness.
That's a beautiful thought. Yeah, it really is. It challenges us to, like, look beyond that immediate pain and consider the potential for growth and transformation, you know, that might emerge from our grief.
So it's not about seeking out suffering, but just recognizing that even in those dark moments, there might be something valuable there waiting to be discovered. It's like those wildflowers that bloom in the most unexpected places, right? Resilient, unexpected, and full of life.
That's a beautiful image. And it really speaks to, like, the enduring power of Lamentations. This book is so much more than just an ancient text. It's a guide for how to be human. When we're facing pain and loss, and even those, like, big questions about faith that can shake us to our core.
Exactly. It gives us permission to grieve openly, to question without fear, to wrestle with God even when we're angry or confused. And ultimately, it shows us a path back to hope, even when it feels impossible.
And it reminds us that we don't have to have all the answers. Sometimes the most honest prayer is simply, why?
It's like saying, you know, God, I'm hurting. I don't understand. But I'm still here. I'm still seeking you. Not demanding answers or trying to force a solution, but just being real about where we are in that moment.
That's where true growth begins, I think, in that raw honesty and willingness to engage with our pain and our doubts. Like, we're invited to become those wounded healers ourselves, sharing our own scars and stories to help others navigate their own journeys through grief.
I love that image of us, like, walking each other home, supporting each other through those difficult times. Because when we allow ourselves to be vulnerable and admit that we don't have it all figured out, we create space for others to do the same.
And in that shared space and that honest vulnerability, we can find genuine connection and support and healing. It's not about pretending to have it all together, but rather being real with each other about the struggles we face.
Lamentations seems to be saying that we're not alone in our pain, are part of a larger story, a tapestry woven with threads of both sorrow and joy. Wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. And even though the individual threads may be tangled and knotted at times, the overall pattern is one of beauty and resilience. There's a sense of hope that emerges from this tapestry, a reminder that even in the midst of heartbreak, there is always the possibility of healing and new life.
So if you feel lost or overwhelmed by grief right now, know that you're not alone. Reach out to someone you trust. Allow yourself to feel the pain fully. And remember the words of Lamentations. Let it be your guide, your companion, and your source of strength as you navigate the complexities of human suffering.
And as Dr. Allen reminds us, grief has its own timetable. There's no need to rush the process or compare yourself to others. Be patient with yourself. Be kind to yourself. And trust that in time, you will find your own unique path to healing.
It's not a race. It's not a competition. It's a journey. And sometimes the most important thing we can do for ourselves and others who are hurting is to simply show up, be present, and listen with open hearts.
Because in the end, love and compassion are the greatest healers of all.
I couldn't agree more. Just as Lamentations offers this tapestry of emotions, so too does our own life experience, right? It's a reminder that the human heart is capable of holding both immense sorrow and profound joy at the same time.
It's in that space, that tension between the two, that we discover the fullness of what it means to be alive. We learn to appreciate the light even more because we've known the darkness. And we develop a deeper empathy for others because we've walked through our own valleys of suffering.
I've always been struck by the Japanese art of kintsugi, where broken pottery is repaired with gold, highlighting the cracks and imperfections. Instead of hiding the brokenness, it becomes part of the beauty, part of the story.
What a beautiful analogy. That's like saying our scars, they tell our stories, and they become a source of strength and resilience, not something to be ashamed of.
So if you're feeling broken today, remember that you are not defined by your pain. You are a work of art, still in progress. Your story is far from over. There is still beauty to be created, love to be shared, and hope to be discovered.
And Lamentations reminds us that even in the midst of our brokenness, we're held by a God who weeps with us, who understands our pain, and who walks with us through the darkest of nights.
That's a powerful truth to hold on to, no matter what challenges life throws our way. It's a reminder that we're not alone, that there's a source of strength and comfort that we can always turn to.
And as we come in the end of our deep dive into Lamentations, I want to leave you with this thought-provoking question. What if, instead of fearing grief, we sought it as an opportunity for profound growth like Gerald Sitzer suggests?
What new possibilities might open up if we embraced our pain as a catalyst for transformation? It's a question worth pondering, and I encourage you to explore it further.
Perhaps in the depths of our sorrow, we'll discover a strength and resilience we never knew we possessed. And maybe, just maybe, we'll find that grace disguised within our own brokenness.
It's like the cracks let the light in.
Exactly. And that's what makes Lamentation such a powerful and enduring text. It doesn't shy away from the hard questions, the raw emotions, the messy reality of human suffering.
It meets us right where we are in the midst of our pain. And it offers a way forward, not a quick fix, not a simple answer, but a journey of healing and hope.
And that journey begins with acknowledging our need for comfort, for connection, for a God who understands our pain. Like the mentor in Lamentations, we're invited to pour out our hearts to God, to express our grief, our anger, our confusion, even our doubts.
To trust that even in the silence, when we feel completely abandoned, God is present with us.
You know, that reminds me of something C.S. Lewis wrote.
Okay.
He said, God is so very absent help in trouble.
Right.
But perhaps, as he suggests, it's in those moments of feeling utterly alone that God is actually most present.
Yeah.
It's a paradox, isn't it?
It is. And it's a paradox that Lamentations doesn't shy away from.
Right.
It leans into those raw emotions, the doubt, the confusion.
Exactly. And by doing so, it gives us permission to be fully human.
Yeah.
To embrace all of our emotions without judgment.
Right.
It shows us that we don't need to have a perfect tiny faith to come before God.
We can bring our messy selves, our doubts and fears.
Right.
And still find grace and acceptance.
Exactly.
It's like Lamentations is giving us permission to be honest with God and with ourselves.
And I think that's where we can discover a deeper, more authentic faith.
Right.
A faith that's not afraid to ask the hard questions, to wrestle with doubt, to embrace the messy reality of human experience.
Mm-hmm.
A faith that's rooted in honesty and vulnerability rather than pretense and perfection.
So to wrap up our deep dive into Lamentations,
yeah,
I want to encourage you to approach this book with an open heart, a curious mind.
Yeah.
And a willingness to let it challenge and transform you.
Don't be afraid to dive into the raw emotion, the pain, the questioning.
Yeah.
In its pages, you might just find the words you need to articulate your own pain to discover your own unique path to healing and to rediscover the God who walks with you through the darkest of valleys.
And for those of you who want to explore this powerful book even further, I highly recommend Dr. Allen's full teaching on Lamentations.
It's a great resource.
Yeah, it's a rich resource for anyone seeking to understand the complexities of grief and the enduring power of faith.
And remember, you don't have to journey alone.
Right.
Reach out to your community, to your loved ones, to those who have walked a similar path.
Yeah.
Shared sorrow is a bit lighter to bear, and shared hope burns a little brighter.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive to Lamentations.
Yes, thank you.
We hope you found it insightful and encouraging.
May you find comfort, strength, and hope in its words.
And until next time, keep seeking, keep exploring, and keep believing that even in the broken places, there is beauty to be found.